Welcome to In-Depth, an in-depth look at the interesting, educational, and timely topics affecting you right here in South Central Iowa and beyond. The one to count on for today's local news coverage is KNIA and KRLS. Now with today's In-Depth, here's Dr. Bob Leonard.
A Democratic candidate for president wants to share what he will do about climate change and how he will help rural America. Let's go in depth with Senator Cory Booker from New Jersey. Thank you, Senator. I'm very glad that you found the time. And I know you're very busy, so we'll get right to it. How do you feel the debate went?
I felt it was really good. We've got a lot of momentum coming out of that, if that's any indication. From a lot more commitments coming in, from endorsements to just even at a lot of our headquarters around the state of Iowa, much more energy. We can see a notable change, which is nice because we already had what we felt was just some great grassroots support. And then the fundraising has been extraordinary. We've had our best fundraising 24 hours of the campaign online and small dollar contributions. So we're going to continue to press the momentum. And the most important thing for me is I felt like America got to see a lot of my spirit and sort of the authentic energy and ideas that I'm bringing to this campaign. And then even beyond the policy, just my focus on unifying our party and being someone that can speak to the full breadth of who we are as a party, and even more so, which I think is really important, and I say this over and over again, is the Democratic Party can't focus its ambition about beating Republicans when what we really need in this moral moment is leadership that stands up and says, I'm running to unite Americans. And I really believe that that was one of the ideals that came through on the debate stage and what I will continue to talk about throughout this campaign.
Well, one of the things that I don't think has been talked about enough on the debate stage, and it will be in the future, I'm sure, but is, as you well know, the National Academy of Sciences, the UN, the National Chamber of Commerce, and most significantly, maybe the Pentagon thinks that the human role in climate change has led to an existential threat. What's your perspective on it, and what would you do?
So I think this has got to be one of those questions where we have to start by asking, what have people been doing? This problem didn't just happen in the last year or two. This has been going on for a long time, and that consensus was there back when I was a city council person. And so as mayor of the city of Newark, when then President George Bush would not join the Kyoto Accords, I showed what kind of leadership I'll provide as the president by turning to the nation and saying, hey, mayors, let's all get together. We actually created a mayoral alliance around climate change. And then as a city, I said every issue, climate is not a separate issue. I said that every issue we do in the city now will be done through a green lens. And we actually did everything from our reentry programs for men and women coming home from prison to getting them to work on urban farms, which helped to pull carbon out of the air. We actually had our job training program shifting them to really focus on green jobs, whether it was kids getting the training for solar panel installation all the way to environmentally retrofitting the buildings in the city. And so as president of the United States, it's going to be the same thing. This is not a separate issue. It is the issue that must inform all of our actions as a nation. And so that means everything from things people don't talk about, like we have incredible power as a government because we are one of the biggest consumers. The federal government has a procurement program that involves hundreds of billions of dollars. We need to make sure every business that wants to do business with the government has part of the bid specs is going to be environmental policy. We've got to make sure that everything from our ag policy, we need to do a much better job of providing the kind of economic incentives that get better partnership from farmers, and making sure our ag policy is incentivizing things like cover crops that pull carbon out of the air, and incentivizing what is the natural instincts of farmers, which is to be the best stewards of the land as possible. And the last thing I'll mention, and what I mean, everything has to be thought about through a lens of climate, It means making sure people understand that our foreign policy, because just 15% of this problem is created within the United States. If we do everything right, the planet will still go in the wrong direction. We've got to be better international leaders. And that means not just rejoining the Paris Climate Accords. I don't think anybody should get a big red badge of courage for doing that. What we really have to start talking about is the kind of leveraging every element of our foreign, of our power on the international stage, from trade deals, making climate the center of them, all the way to our foreign alliances like NATO, the UN, and others. We have to push and champion climate, the climate crisis being the center of our activities. And then the last thing, remember, we give hundreds of billions of dollars over time to lots of nations in foreign aid. We've got to make sure that we are using that, making it even conditional on other countries having a climate plan.
More in depth after this.
I continued my conversation with Senator Cory Booker. Now, there are proposals out there that suggest paying farmers for environmental services, paying them directly to do cover crops, to do managed grazing, no-till, all kinds of good environmental things that will help sequester carbon, help purify our waters. There are proposals out there that say, you know, just compensate farmers directly for environmental services. What do you think about those proposals?
I 100% believe that we should be doing things to pay and incentivize farmers, because their practices, without them in full partnership, we are not going to meet this crisis. And there's ways that we could generate the resources to do that. That doesn't mean in any way somebody's going to have to pay more, that working folks are going to have to pay more. In fact, we can create economic opportunity to actually double down on jobs and support farmers who are struggling by having these kind of policies. And one of the things is very simply making our large corporations, we've got to put a price on carbon and use that money not to just flow it into the federal coffers, but actually to reinvest it in things like these programs that will be payment to farmers to incentivize them to do the kind of practices that are actually going to help us solve these problem.
Farmers need markets, and now they don't have the markets that they've spent generations building. Should you be elected president, what would you do immediately to start opening up those markets again? Should we still be having trouble with that?
Well, I find it stunning the way this president is going about this trade war. It really is frustrating, especially because I'm meeting people like Gary and Carolyn that I met right there in Iowa, who talked to me about how devastating these tariffs have been to them, and the paltry amount of money that they're getting does not even begin to cover the costs that these tariffs are causing on them and their businesses. So first and foremost, I'm going to end this misguided trade war by this president and make sure that our trade policies, yes, are holding China accountable, but we can't go into a fight with China without our allies. And by using tariffs right now on countries like Canada, we're actually using a national security waiver to put tariffs on Canada. Canada is not a national security threat to us. And we need to make sure we unify with our allies and have substantive understanding that we are bigger than China when we stand with our allies, and we need to dictate the terms of international trade. But part of your question is understanding that the damage being done right now, it is devastating what, as you said, have been relationships that have been built up for years and years and years. And so you can't just suddenly end the trade war and think things will go back to normal, because countries are now looking elsewhere, not the United States, but looking to build in places like Brazil, like and other areas, are trying to build their market of some of these great commodities, whether they be corn or soybean. They're looking for other areas now to supply them. And once they create those relationships, they're not going to just switch back. And so I'm going to have a very aggressive farm policy, policy when it comes to helping farmers find opportunities, international opportunities for their goods. Most of the things that we're producing in Iowa are going far beyond Iowa's borders, and we've got to make sure that we have a president that's fighting in this competitive global market to find places for American goods. I know we can outcompete the world, but we need to have an international policy that is making sure that we're removing obstacles and paving the road forward for so many of our farmers. Right now, we're hurting those past relationships. I'm going to make sure we build them up again so that our farm sector is strong. And while I say that, I want to say one other thing, because you know this is a point that I joined with the only farmer in the Senate, Senator Tester. The trade policies and the erosion of our global market share is one problem. Another problem for farmers is what's happening with massive consolidation in the industry. And when I sat with farmers, still do, but one of my earliest conversations before I was running for president, sitting with Republican farmers was hearing their stories, their painful stories about how the corporate consolidation that's happening in their industry is really hurting them, raising the cost of their source materials or chemicals and their seeds because of big consolidation, 2-3 companies now controlling the overwhelming majority of that of those industries, driving up their prices. The consolidation of the folks that used to sell their goods to now only having one option often, and now fearing that those folks could just cut them off. Their share of the consumer dollar has gone down dramatically. And if we don't see that as a crisis, undermining what is the first entrepreneurs in our country, the heritage of our nation, independent family farmer, if we're not taking corporate consolidation seriously, we're not only not going to solve the problem of supporting farmers in America, we're actually not going to solve a lot of the environmental issues. Because as one Republican farmer told me about one of the massive corporate industries that moved in around them, their practices are frustrating him because they're despoiling the water and that he and a creek he used to fish out of, his well that used to provide water for his home, is now being polluted because of the practices that he would never engage in, but he sees a lot of the larger aggregated businesses doing so.
More in depth after this.
I continued my conversation with Senator Cory Booker. If I recall correctly, you actually introduced legislation to put a moratorium on those big agribusiness mergers for, I don't know the specifics of it, but where does that legislation stand?
You know, it's really interesting because I have conversations with Tester about the fighting chance for our legislation. And I think we both understand that it's actually a bipartisan idea. I think Paul Wellstone was one of the first people to try to do it years ago. Both of our sense is if we can change presidents, we actually have a fighting chance of getting a bill like that through because there are a lot of Republicans representing farm communities that hear these stories. And I know that these ag businesses and their lobbyists and their campaign contributions are powerful. But at the end of the day, this is a bread and butter issue for Democrat, Republican, independent farmers. And he and I both believe if we can see the kind of changes we want to see in 2020, we can begin to give independent family farmers a fighting chance again and get legislation like that done.
Any last thoughts you'd like to share with our listeners today?
Yeah, I just want to say that there was some disappointment, and I tried to express that from the debate stage about really our party being pit against each other by a lot of those, the way some of those questions were put about. I know from people who are considered the progressive wing, the moderate wing, I know that there is a fierce pragmatism that exists in our party, despite the way we're often characterized by this president and Republicans who try to twist the reality. I think there's a pathway forward that's common sense in a way that when I bump into Iowans, I just love the sort of a practical wisdom that comes from folks. We know, for example, in healthcare, as much as if you watch those debates, I watched the first night and found myself just getting frustrated listening to the back and forth. We know that we made some progress with the Affordable Care Act in expanding coverage and dealing with some of the costs that were hurting Americans. I don't attack President Obama for that. I actually think it was incredible courage to move us forward. The next president cannot allow perfect to be the enemy of good. And we're a nation right now that needs a lot more good in healthcare. The prescription drug prices are too much. People who have insurance often find out the hard way that their insurance is not adequate to cover their healthcare demands. And we have a system that's designed against common sense that says, hey, because of the co-pays or deductibles, we're going to do everything we can to incentivize you to not go to the doctor when we could be at a period of early intervention and prevention, and to wait until something's become really bad, that not only is it more expensive, but it has a more dire consequences for your health. I'm a guy who had to run a city and drove towards idealistic goals, but every day was committed to creating progress, struggling communities, struggling low-income city, to make progress for them. That's the ideals of our party that have to break through in all this noise we have right now. If I'm president of the United States, every single day I'm going to be working to lower costs, make common sense changes, not just within our healthcare system, but from ag policy to even having a tax system that better incentivizes the things that we want and starts to de-incentivizing the things that we don't. I know that the next Congress under a new president can do the kind of things like a common sense first step, which is producing a public option that can better compete with the private insurance companies, because private insurance companies spend 15% on overhead. The overhead for a public option under Medicare right now is just 2%. We can begin to show and earn the trust by showing folks we can do things more efficiently and more effectively, that we can drive down prescription drug costs by using the power of our leverage through Medicare and other things to just make people's lives better. I want my party, I want the Democratic Party, to get back to being the party of everybody from unions to farmers, because they look at us and say, hey, these are a bunch of very pragmatic, common sense people doing things and addressing the issues that we just know are wrong, because wrong is wrong. And that's what I'm going to try to be talking a lot more about if I get back out to Iowa and talk to folks, just about, hey, if there are things that are just obviously wrong, from the way this president's going about trade to giving tax cuts to billionaires and corporations under some idea that it's going to help us with struggling in rural areas or urban areas. It's just not common sense. And if we can get back to being that as a party, I think we'll not just win an election, but we'll be able to drive real change that makes a difference in people's lives.
Thanks to Senator Cory Booker for contributing to the program.
An audio copy of today's in-depth program is available at KNIAKRLS.com on demand or for download. Just click podcasts. If you have topics or show ideas you'd like to hear in-depth, contact KNIAKRLS by sending an email to Bob Leonard at KNIAKRLS.com. The one to count on for today's local news and the number one news and information source in South Central Iowa is KNIA KRLS.